Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. The Buffalo Bills continue to play football. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. An emphatic 31-7 victory over the Broncos sets up a Week 4 rematch.
That's such a funny way to put it, though. Like
emphatic?
No. The Bills are still playing football.
Bills are still playing football, baby. Still alive.
More than other teams can say.
14-win Vikings team? That's a tough way to end night.
Sam Darnold.
That's a tough way to
biggest
end.
Loser of the week. He just lost out like at least $100 million.
And it's only like 15 or 16 days ago that like he was being hoisted up by his teammates, champagne's going everywhere,
and he looked
like the king of Minnesota. And like 15, 16 or so days later, you're like, up.
I mean, to be fair,
they might pack his bags for him.
He was sacked 9 times.
I'd argue a lot of them were on him. Watching that game, it was like, Sam, dude, do anything. Move around it. And to be fair, also, and we'll get to the Bills and Ravens coming up here, but to be fair to Sam too, O'Connell, hey, stop throwing deep balls.
Maybe don't do that. It's not working this time.
Get the ball out of his hands quick.
It's also really funny that the only two losses the Vikings had, or they had three losses, sorry. But still, the two losses that matter here are to the Lions and the Rams. The Lions twice, and the Rams twice, technically, if you count the postseason.
That's tough.
Like, and then the one to, I think that's it, right?
No, that's it. That's it. They lost three times.
Yeah. Just tough
luck. First ever 14-win wild card team.
To not win?
They lose to Detroit twice. They lose to the Rams twice. That's rough.
Terrible.
That's rough. And that kind of capped off a really bad wild card weekend. If you were a neutral fan, it sucked.
Hey, I was six for six.
You were six
in
for
our
six.
Picks. But I picked the two underdogs and you picked all the favorites.
But objectively, like all of the games were bad except for one.
Yeah.
Washington and Tampa was awesome. That was great.
Yeah,
if you were a neutral
really
fan
good.
Though, trying to like enjoy like good football, good games, what have you. Terrible. Terrible
and,
games.
Real quick with the Washington-Tampa game, what's crazy is Mike Evans actually played. Like, he didn't get shut down by Marshon Lattimore. Like, he was going off in that game. And I think that was a big part of the reason why it looked so lopsided for so long. And then, obviously Jaden Daniels is inevitable and comes back and wins because that's what the Commanders do.
I don't think
season.
That game was ever lopsided. It just kind of felt like it's going to go back and forth. Lattimore's not getting any stops.
Well, that's I think why it felt maybe a little lopsided. Like if you're watching it, expecting Lattimore to kind of shut Evans down, and then he's the leading receiver with 92 yards and a touchdown. Like you said, it was never lopsided. It was really back and forth the whole way. It was 10-10 by the end of the first half, 17-13 going into the fourth. But again, it felt like Tampa was kind of like going in the right direction just because of the fact that, Washington didn't really have much for Mike Evans.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, to be fair, Tampa had no answer for Terry McLaurin or Deame Brown, of all people, who was the number two receiver for Washington. A lot of fun that game. Everyone else kind of bad. Hopefully the division round is much better. I do love the matchups. We do have some breaking news, though, for the Bills. It is not too surprising if you've been paying attention to Twitter. We do already have the legend of the game for the divisional round, and it is, in fact, Ryan Fitzpatrick. He will be the legend of the game when the Bills take on the Baltimore Ravens this Sunday at 6:30. I'm very excited. I thought Kyle Williams did a very, very good job. Fitz, I imagine after him doing the whole video of him shaving his chest hair, will come out shirtless.
He was not shaving his chest hair. He had a pick.
Yeah.
But Jeremy and Joe were talking about that. Apparently on the one podcast. What podcast was it? I don't know. I can't remember the podcast now. I think, but regardless, Fitz said he would shave his beard and wax.
Eric Woods podcast, yes, centered on Buffalo.
Thank you. Yeah, I couldn't remember. It was Eric's podcast. He would shave his beard and wax his chest if the Bills win the Super Bowl.
That's nice.
So.
That's good.
Perfect legend of the game to follow up Kyle Williams. Because honestly, like, Kyle Williams did an incredible job, and I think the only person that could follow him up and maybe do a better job or just as good of a job is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, yeah. It's going to be good.
Yeah. I'm excited for that. I'm more just excited for this game. This is a rematch I've wanted since week 6-7-ish, like once they got Amari Cooper in, mm-hmm. once their defense got healthy. This is kind of the rematch I wanted. I think it is going to be two heavyweights going after it. I heard Howard Simon on earlier today doing Pick the Bills, and he thinks – whoever wins this game is going to the Super Bowl. I agree. I think both these teams are better than Chiefs. I think they're both playing better than the Chiefs currently, even with Kansas City sort of kind of finding their mojo a little bit. And I'm excited. I can't wait. I think this game is going to be amazing. And there's storylines galore for both teams because both teams, you know, the last time the Bills kind of played them, they were down three of their starters for Baltimore. They're just feeling that their defense was terrible in the first half of the season. Now it's one of their best units. And then you have the MVP battle. We won't know who wins it. I think the voting is done, and I think it's pretty much done. I think it is going to be Lamar Jackson. And so there's that bit of storyline as well of Lamar coming into Buffalo with the feeling that he did steal the MVP from Allen. That crowd is going to be ravenous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a night game. It's the last game of the divisional round because it's Sunday at 6:30. And I think it's the best one by a mile and a half.
What's the early game that day?
The early game that day, let me just pull up the schedule here. That is going to be Rams-Eagles.
Ooh, okay.
Which is also good. That's
a good game too. Yeah, that'll be a nice little lead up to the Bills-Ravens game. I'm just, if you were excited for last week's game, just amplify that by 10, and that's how I feel. Like, this game this week, I think, is going to be really just incredible to watch. It's going to – if you're a neutral fan watching this game, it's going to be amazing. Even if you're a fan of either of these teams, you know, obviously one of them is going to lose, one of them is going to win, but it's going to be a great game, I think, all the way around. The Bills are, fully healthy, knock on wood, with – guys like Matt Milano, Terrell Bernard, Taron Johnson, they're back. They weren't in the week four games. You didn't get to see what they would do against this Baltimore offense. The Baltimore defense is better than it was. So you kind of get to see that in action and see if it can continue. And I think this is kind of a big time prove it game for Lamar Jackson because he's had so many problems over the past few years with all of these, can't do it in the playoffs, mm-hmm. falls apart in the playoffs. Why'd they change the game plan in the playoffs? Like, all of these storylines. And to be fair, he did win last week, but it was against the Steelers. Like, to me, that was like the Broncos beating the Chiefs.
Yep.
In week 18. It meant nothing. It was a nothing win because the Steelers looked just complacent the entire time.
I think that's the thing is, for the Steelers win too, like as impressive as it was, the main storyline from everybody, even people who are really big fans of the Ravens, has been just how poor Pittsburgh looked.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm not saying you can take a ton from, say, the Bills-Broncos when the Broncos looked outclassed, even when the Bills were sort of slow playing it, not getting everything going.
Yeah.
They eventually did and just kind of ran them out of the house.
But even with the win the way it was for the Ravens, Russell Wilson still threw for 270 yards and two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying that's, you know, holy cow, but at the same time, for a team that looked really complacent and kind of dead in the water for most of the game, it's pretty good. Like, it's not bad. Obviously, you know, the big catalyst here is Derrick Henry. 186 yards and two touchdowns against the Steelers, ultimately leading Lamar Jackson to have only 175 passing yards and two passing touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like I said, it's tough to look at this Steelers game for the Ravens because you kind of got to look at who they were playing. And same with the Bills against the Broncos, like you just said. They're two vastly inferior opponents that you kind of knew that going in. I mean, sure, there was a little more hype around Bills Broncos because the Broncos are young and hungry or whatever. And mm-hmm. they were good in the first quarter. Like, and to be fair, Bo Nix, I think, had a good game. He just needs more help.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's you hit a point where in the playoffs, okay, you were a year, I don't want to say necessarily a year ahead of schedule. I say that a lot for like teams like them and the Chargers, but you clearly had room to build.
Yeah,
you can right. leave this loss going, okay, we know where we need to get. We have our quarterback, or at least we think we do, and you can kind of start taking a step forward. I think for either team, Baltimore or Buffalo, it would have been disastrous if either one lost. I feel bad for whoever loses this game now, too. Mike Shope was mm-hmm. talking about it yesterday. I couldn't agree more. With the amount of pressure that's on both of these teams, and I said it with Sal last week, whoever wins is going to gain a lot of credibility in playoff performances, in everything, because all of a sudden for Lamar, it would have been making two straight AFC championship games. Harbaugh, you know, you're beating Josh Allen on the road. I think this would be his 10th road playoff victory as well. He's already tied for wow. the most. I believe he's at 9 now. And so there would be that big buildup of like, okay, like we're okay. And if they win, I have to assume Lamar has played a good game. I have to. Or at least not a bad game. And so that would build his credibility. For the Bills, you're getting past the division around. And you've now beaten some pretty solid competition to get there. Bo Nix had 29 touchdown passes as a rookie. You held them to 7 points. Late into the third, they had 5 plays in Buffalo territory because their one touchdown come from the big play. After that, they just never could cross the 50-yard line up until late in the game where the Bills were basically like, all right, let's get out of this healthy. Mm-hmm. I think they went to that a little early, but they kind of turned off the ignition. We're like, we're just going to kind of glide here to the divisional round. But you'd have gone through Bo Nix and then Jackson. And then for Allen, again, it's the same with Lamar. I don't imagine the Bills win without Allen having a great game. He adds another great game to his legacy and is going back to the AFC Championship. And I think for both of these teams as well, there's a feeling you are better than Kansas City. They may have the one seed, but you both are better than them right now. And it, again, it just adds credibility to what they're building, what they're doing, the whole thing. And yeah, there's a reason why no team has gone 3 straight in Super Bowl wins. It's hard to do. And I heard yesterday on Shomo Bullock too, there was a caller that brought up the idea that whoever wins this game is just going to be emotionally and physically shot going into Kansas City, and that Kansas City is getting an advantage there. I don't necessarily think Kansas City is going to have all that fun of a time with Houston. For as bad as Houston played, that defensive front is still good. And the tackles for Kansas City are still bad. Mm-hmm. And so while they may not play well enough to win, I think they can physically beat up Kansas City. I think they can make them sweat to get there. I think Kansas City will still win. But I also don't totally think that you're going to shoot all your bullets, essentially, to get through this game. Both know the end goal is the AFC Championship. They just got to get through this one.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a kind of an underrated thing that's been so bad for the Chiefs this season is their offensive line. I think there's a lot of the reason why Patrick Mahomes has the numbers he does, which they're still great, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but they're not what we're used to seeing, I guess, and it's kind of heavily impacted by that. So I think it has a lot to do with that. Like, you're right with, you know, I honestly thought Houston I thought the Chargers were going to have a little bit more of a fight than they did.
Totally agree.
It just kind of seemed like they just fell apart. You know, it didn't seem like it all came together.
It seemed like a team that the playoff moment was too big for them. All of a sudden, receivers couldn't catch. Herbert even made some bad throws.
It's not even that big of a moment, though. And that's the part that, like, is just crazy to me, is that you're in a wild card game. Sure, you're on the road.
Yeah, but if you're Herbert, you're what, 5-6 years into your career, you haven't won a playoff game. The one playoff game you were in is like one of the most historic collapses.
Right. I get that. But you have a new head coach, you have a new mentality, you have a new team, you have all this stuff, and it's looked great. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh, for what he is, he's turned that. He felt like he, it felt like he turned that team around for most of the season.
Still, I think he still has.
Yeah, but like, it's now it's that mental hurdle in the playoffs. And sure, it's the bright lights and it's the playoffs and it's a tough test. But like, it's the wild card round. You're going to Houston and you're favored.
Yeah, but I think that does matter. You're in Houston. It's on the road. It's still the playoffs. Look at Minnesota last night.
Sure,
Minnesota wins 14 games. They're never in that ballgame.
No.
Never in that ballgame.
Never. Not
even after
once.
The weird fumble, but not fumble. Actually because he pitched it forward.
And
whatever.
It's also not and intentional
that
grounding.
Yeah, that would have made it 10-10 if it counted. I was upset in the moment. I can get it now. But they were never in that ballgame. And that's the thing. I mean, winning a playoff game is hard. It is very, very difficult. Mike Tomlin has not won one since 2015, 2016. You know, coaches go years without winning playoff games. Good coaches as well. It's difficult, and it's not this going to be you're eventually going to get it. It's why I do still, I guess, give credit to the Bills. It, you know, is one way to put it. I still give them credit for getting to the divisional round now 5 straight years. They keep winning playoff games. In an era in the NFL as well, you don't get the bye week for the 2 seed. They've had the 2 seed so many times in this run. Usually they should just be starting off in the divisional round if we're going off of any other era in history except now where they have to play these wild card games. You wonder where the Bills would be if we still had just the 6 seeds and 1 and 2 seed both got bye weeks. You wonder, do they make more AFC championship games? Have they made a Super Bowl with rest, the whole thing? Last year I think is a big example of that too because you lost all your linebackers against Pittsburgh in a game you were dominating but just injuries hit you. It kind of started to feel like that with Denver as well, but it seems like they sort of missed any kind of, you know, catastrophic news outside of Ray Davis. He did pick up a concussion. We'll you know, keep eye on that, especially when the Bills get back to work tomorrow. But it's hard to win in the playoffs, and that's why with one game, I think both Allen and Lamar can very radically change how people talk about them for years to come. I think they absolutely can because it's against each other. It's against a premier opponent. It will get you to an AFC championship game. For Lamar, it will be 2 in a row. For Allen, it will be the first since 2020. But it will feel like, okay, now you're starting to beat teams in the playoffs. Now you're going on the run. Now the run has started. And you know, the emotional momentum that kind of, you know, builds. You've beaten Kansas City multiple times in a row in the regular season. You've beaten them at Arrowhead. So that kind of stadium and that crowd has sort of lost its luster for how, I guess, people would even think about it. I would say Kansas City would still be favored in either game against Baltimore or Buffalo just because they are at home. But, man, I can't wait. I love that legacies are defined here, and these teams are not the same teams that played in Week 4. I didn't say the score 35-10 is not totally indicative of how that game turned out. It eventually got there, but even if you go back to the failed trick play that kind of like ruined any sort of building blocks the Bills were putting up, there was a chance the Bills were going to make that game 21-17. I'm not saying definitively, but there's a good chance that that was where that was heading. Now, all of a sudden, you are in a dogfight. And for all the bad will you did, without 3 of your marquee starters on that defense, you're in that game on the road in Baltimore. And you don't have Amari Cooper. Khalil Shakir is hurt. And you're still trying to figure out what the offense is. Now, you know what the offense is. It's a wagon. It is a wagon. Against the 3rd best rush defense in football, Josh, they put up 200 yards rushing. 100 in the first quarter with James Cook. I mean, he was unbelievable. Allen has completely figured out this offense and where he wants to go with the ball. He missed a few shots on Sunday, but then kind of dialed it in. He went 20 for 26. I mean, honestly, if you just looked at the stat line, you wouldn't even think he missed anybody. He was dialed in completely. They go to Shakir. Kincaid and Knox were involved very early. The running backs, Ty Johnson is a weapon for them.
Ty Johnson has been probably one of the best practice squad, waiver wire pickups, whatever you want to call him, like in a long time. I mean, he was just kind of a guy that came in here, and now all of a sudden he's an integral part of their offense, and he has been most of the season. It's not just one game. It's been time and time again you see him, and even Ray Davis too. They both get involved very easily in this offense, and I love that. Like
it is very seamless, I love what James, how they can move through the running backs and each kind of have their role.
Yeah, right, because I love what James Cook does because he has kind of become that reliable, like, hey, give him the ball. He'll get you 6 to 7 yards, maybe more. You know, we'll see what happens. But then you have Ray Davis who just runs through your face, and you have Ty Johnson who's kind of just he's your new gadget guy. If you think about it, like he does run plays, but most of the time, he's just kind of out there running around and say, hey, look, there he is.
I love that they've finally figured out like the Nyheim Hines, the J.D. McKissick role in a guy like Ty Johnson.
The touchdown that was the Keon Coleman touchdown in the Jets game, that was going to Ty Johnson. And Coleman just happened to be there. And I'm kind of glad he was because he was able to get up for that. I don't know if Johnson would have got up for that. But, you know, it's the fact that he's so heavily involved and Allen trusts him so much in this offense. That's something that you didn't see in a team that was last year's team. And again, you know, we've talked about it as the season has gone on, how this everybody eats thing has kind of evolved and changed over the course of the season.
Yep.
It is so much different than what I ever thought it was going to be. I anticipated it being, you know, every other bit, not necessarily broken down like this, but to put it in the simplest form, every week somebody else is going to be going off and there's going to be no one person in charge. And that's, you know, it is, there's no one person in charge, but it's so much more fluid than I ever expected. It's so, and it works so well. Right?
It feels like, very natural.
Yeah, it doesn't like feel forced. It doesn't feel like
everyone knows their roles.
Yeah.
Again, Cooper is a guy who, against Patrick Surtain, gets what, like one target? Mm-hmm. But you can even feel his presence in the offense of it's dragging away a corner.
Yeah.
It's dragging away coverage to free up a guy like Curtis Samuel, who, by the way, two straight weeks he has actually led the Bills in receiving yards. He led the Bills against the Patriots. He led them this week, albeit kind of one big play.
Right.
But still, he's wide open.
Yeah.
It was a design play. Allen gets it to him, and then he makes it work.
And to be fair, like the throw from Allen to find him was great, but the yards after catch, where he breaks three guys, he breaks a tackle, and he also gets past two defenders to get to the end zone. Like that in itself is impressive for a guy that hasn't had to do much this season, has kind of struggled with injuries and things like that. So just seeing how locked in these guys are, even if they're not part of the game or not part of the game plan that day, that's how you can see that. Like, let's say that was Curtis Samuel's only catch or only target of the day. Just to have that happen on one play, like, that's impressive. And how many teams can say that, you know, is their game plan, right? Like, sure, that happens where, you know, your third receiver or your fourth receiver catches a ball and makes a good play and gets a touchdown. But how many teams out there can reliably do that week in and week out with whoever is on the field? Like, just because it's not Keon Coleman's week, he could still go out there and boom, in one play he has a 40-yard touchdown and, you know, that's all he's going to do that day. But he put up 7 points.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the thing that I love so much about this offense is you're not watching one guy anymore. You're watching everybody because you know everybody can do it.
And that's the thing, too, and I think why it's so difficult for teams to defend Buffalo now, why like they went on a streak of putting up 30 points and it started right back up in the playoffs.
I was going to say, it's just going again.
You can't just cover Amari Cooper. You can't just cover Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid, or Khalil Shakir, because someone else is going to get open. Someone else is going to make a big play. You saw Kincaid make a big play, Knox make a big play, and it puts teams in a bad spot. And then you have Allen, who is one of the best improvising quarterbacks the NFL has ever seen. And then now you have something the Bills have not had under Allen. You have a top five running back in the sport in James Cook, who can just grind you into the ground, especially with how good this offensive line is, with Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown being two of the best tackles in all of football. Spencer Brown really has flourished and blossomed into one of the best right tackles in the entire sport. It just, they went up against one of the best defenses in football and put up 31 on them, and they didn't play particularly well in the first half.
Right.
Like, that's a big thing for me is that in the red zone, they kind of struggled. You had the non-call on Kincaid. You had the miss to Knox. If they hit those, you're looking at a game that's like 38-7, 45-7. You're blowing them out, and it's never even close. Mitch Trubisky's in for the entire fourth quarter, and that's against one of the best defenses in football, third best rush defense.
Well,
the most sacks in the NFL, an All-Pro in Surtain, and it did not matter.
I pulled up some of the defensive rankings for this season. The best rushing defense in the NFL is the Ravens.
Okay,
and they have given up 80 yards per game, best in the NFL at that. However, on the opposite end of things, they're the second worst against pass defense.
Still?
Wow. Yeah, still. I mean, that could be. I was going to ask you, do you think that's inflated because of how kind of poor the first half of the year was? Because the first half of the year for the Ravens was not good in terms of defense.
Everything I've seen is just like they're like top five in like every category now.
I mean, this is like overall the entire season compared to everybody in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So, again, if it's a per game, a yards per game, it might be a little inflated because of the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So there is that, but they are the best rushing defense in the NFL. So that is, again, going to be a test for the Bills running backs. I mean, like you just said, the Broncos are third in the NFL, and the Bills put up 200 yards on them
mm-hmm.
in rushing. So, I mean, can the Bills do that this week? I hope so, because I feel like that was a big part of the game plan this past week was controlling the ball and running the clock, essentially. And I think that's one thing the Bills have done nicely this year is in terms of controlling the pace of play is when they do get a chance to run the ball, they run it and they run it effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And that forced the Broncos to go one-dimensional. If you can force the Ravens to not give the ball to Derrick Henry, that's a huge, huge plus.
It becomes a lot like the Lions game
mm-hmm.
or the Chiefs game where you just have to push it to where they aren't allowed or they kind of can't just give the ball 25, 30 times to Henry. Like
right.
You saw, and if you saw in the Pittsburgh game where they just kind of could lean on you the whole thing. I wonder, too, about Henry, the rush defense being more along the lines of they're blowing teams out and you have to pass. And that's why their pass defense scores are so low is that in reality when the game is tight, they're very good. It's when the game gets away and now teams are forced to pass. They get kind of the garbage yards. Blake Bortles, the king of it. I wonder if that's where that – I am interested, though, in just the rushing yards allowed on average, 13 yards better than second place.
Mm-hmm.
They're at 80. The Vikings were at 93.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun matchup. I can't wait. This is one of those games I'm genuinely looking forward to. Like, I've gotten to the point with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't necessarily look forward to those games anymore. And I've said in the regular season, like, I didn't get up for it too much because, like, it matters in the playoffs. You've beaten them in the regular season, what, 3 years in a row? I'm good. I'm done. I need them to see them beat them in the playoffs. With the postseason now, it's kind of like there's just this constant nervousness for me with KC because, like, you just expect Mahomes to have a banger. Like, you just assume he's going to have 280 yards at minimum, 3 touchdowns, no picks, and some freaky plays that just have you just mouth on the floor.
Yeah.
The same is not with Lamar. I'm not saying I expect him to have a bad game. I don't expect him, though, to have an amazing game. Like I mentioned, like for them to win, I think he has to have a great game. He has to match Allen.
Like I said, look at last week. I mean, sure, you're playing a bad Pittsburgh team. He only throws for 175 yards, but on 21 attempts, 16 completions.
They didn't need to pass.
Right.
They didn't.
But
need
at
to
the
pass.
Same
but even
time,
then, it's. It, but you. That's what I mean. You look at the Steelers team, though. What fight did they give them?
Right.
None.
Yeah.
None.
His leading receiver had 53 yards.
They gave them no fight, and we don't know if Zay Flowers is going to be good to go. We mm-hmm. just don't.
Yeah.
The Ravens don't sound all that confident. Listen to Adam Schefter yesterday on Pat McAfee. He's saying there's a chance, but he's trying to be like as kind of polite about it as possible. Like, sure, there's a chance. Maybe we'll see.
There's always a chance, but
I'm excited for this matchup. I think the Bills match up incredibly well. I think this could be the game of the season, regardless of who wins in the Super Bowl and the championship games, the whole thing. This feels like Ali Frazier, Celtics-Lakers prime time. And I think especially, too, because there has become animosity between the fan bases with the MVP discourse and all that, I think it's going to be electric, especially later this week, Thursday, Friday, and into the weekend. 803-0550, the number to call. How are we feeling about Bills and Ravens this Sunday at 6:30? Do the three defensive players returning, Milano, Bernard, and Johnson, play a huge difference in how you feel about this game? I think it does. We'll jump into that a little bit more after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
We're not trying to do anything drastically different. We're just trying to go out there and play our best football. We had a really good week of practice. We had a great week of game planning. I thought our offensive staff, again, put in some great plays as you saw today. But ultimately, it's not the X's and O's, it's the Jimmys and Joes, and guys are ready to go. We got our rest, getting able to kind of not play everybody that last game. Guys were refreshed, and again, we're going to need to get our rest this week. And we had a really, really good Baltimore Ravens team coming here. They put the thumping on us earlier in the year, and we know that, we understand that. So again, it's the most important game because it's the next one.
There's Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen talking about the upcoming matchup with the Baltimore Ravens. Going back to that Week 4 game 2 against Baltimore, I think initially a lot of the talking points was how good Derrick Henry was, you know, putting up almost literally a yard under 200 yards on 24 attempts, the big rushing touchdown to open up the game. For me, more the storyline, and I think for a lot of people now, has become the Bills offense only putting up 10 points. Allen himself going 16 for 29, 180 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Actually had no touchdowns at all, didn't even have a rushing one either. Just them putting up 10 points there. Really kind of just, you're not going to win, especially a road game, doing that. You're at home. I cannot, and I know Jeremy's talked about this a lot on Twitter, at least from what I've seen, you're not getting that same performance. I also don't think you're getting 35 from Baltimore. That was when the game just kind of fell apart, and the Bills sort of just, all right, let's, we're not winning this. And I think a lot of it was after the trick play as well. I mean, there was a point where you could have made that 21-17, and it's a drastically different game from that point. But also on the defensive side, you are missing Taron Johnson, Terrell Bernard, and Matt Milano. And I think a big note from Sunday's game, Matt Milano
looked like Matt Milano.
That was maybe the first sign in a long time where you went, okay, there he is.
That one, the play right, I think it was right after Taron Johnson went out, when Milano chases Knicks and gets to him before he gets
out. I think ultimately gets notched as a sack for Milano.
I think so, yeah. But that's the closing speed that you're used to seeing with Matt Milano. And if that's, you know, if it's a mental thing, if it's a, hey, ramp up when you get to the playoffs, whatever the case may be, because the past few weeks, still, like, you look at him and it's like that he's there, but he's not. Like, you know, and now it seems like he's using that speed again. Trusting, if it's a trust thing or whatever, like trusting his body. I don't know, but whatever it is, keep doing it.
And let's get more on that as we get in contact to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Matt is on the line. Matt, how are we doing this morning?
Fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Doing good.
Cool. Well, I just want to start off by saying that this game is not going to look even close to the same as it did in week four. Your question was, does the return of these three defenders have a big impact? And I mean, it's a resounding yes. But I'd like to also point out that on offense, this was week four. So Matt Collins was still trying to figure it out. Curtis Samuel wasn't really playing for us yet. Keon Coleman hadn't really started to emerge yet.
Shakir gets hurt.
I was going to point that out too. Mm-hmm. Shakir was also hurt. We had not acquired Amari Cooper yet. We are entirely different.
Yeah, and I think that's why, man. Yeah. Thanks for the call. And that's why, like, I'm so excited for this game. I'm not nervous. I'm just excited. Like, there's this, like, apprehension of, like, I think for some people of, like, just embracing, like, a great playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait. This is going to be, I think, one of those iconic games. And I'm sorry, Allen is too good of a quarterback to not have a few of these, like, under his belt. He's too good of a quarterback. He's going to get one of these games where it's just like, man, it's historic. That's unbelievable. They're not all going to go to Mahomes. They're just not. And I cannot wait. They're a completely different team. They're healthy. They have been preparing for this moment. No matter what they tell you, so, at least parts of this coaching staff, maybe not the D coordinator, the OC, the special teams coordinator, the head coach, but parts of this coaching staff have been preparing for Baltimore for weeks, knowing we're going to be the two, they're likely going to be the three. And even if they're not, like, there's a good chance we will take them on in the divisional round.
Yeah.
And we can get them at home, and let's see what we can do. And now seeing how well Matt Milano was able to play and in the game leading up to this. And really, the defense having a pretty good kind of run here the last few weeks. Not necessarily the safeties. They've given up two big plays 2 weeks in a row, which is not great. I don't love that. But for the most part, the defense has been kind of starting to put it together. You saw the Jets game, essentially a blowout. They score, or essentially a shutout. They score right at the end with Tyrod Taylor in it at quarterback.
Which is just, it's still so funny.
Patriots game, kind of a wash. Don't really care about that one. That's a lot of backups. But, you know, the Milton play kind of hurts a little bit.
Yeah, the one play from Rapp was a little tough. But
then they play Denver, 29 touchdowns as a rookie. Sean Payton as the OC, they go 2 for 9 on third downs. They put up one touchdown. It's their first drive. They have, late into the third, 5 plays in Buffalo territory. I'm not saying they've entirely turned it around. I still think there are some kinks in the armor. There were misses by Knicks as well.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not act like, and I don't think anybody is here, but let's not act like Lamar's been this perfect playoff performer. He's openly admitted himself he gets a little tight in these games.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, I think, Bills defensively wise, we've talked about it week after week after week. The pass rush has to start getting home. I mean, there was a couple times in that game where in this past game against the Broncos where, yeah, they were getting to Knicks, but he was just getting the ball out. Mm-hmm. I mean, the amount of times I've seen Von Miller chase a quarterback out of the pocket this year and not be able to get to him it's crazy.
Yeah, because you're like the pressure rate's awesome. I just need you to finish the play.
Right, because the pressure rate's fine when mm-hmm. you have someone else with you or when the quarterback throws the ball away. But when, even with Bo Nix, he's getting 5, 10, 15 yards on a rush, then who cares about the pressure rate? You're not doing anything. And especially with a guy like Lamar Jackson who, I mean, if you thought Nix could run, because he was pretty mobile, but if you thought he could run, and we know this, Lamar Jackson's going to run even more. And I think that, you know, if just early on in the game you get home to the quarterback and you get him once and just even, you know, knock him off balance as he's throwing the ball. Like, he gets it out, but you hit him, right? You get a mm-hmm. quarterback hit. That is something. Like, that's a stepping stone, a building block, if you will. And it's something that the pass rush hasn't really been able to do as effectively for like a month.
Well, it's why you have all of us already looking ahead to the offseason going, man, Myles Garrett's going to look real cool in a building uniform.
Yeah, but, he is. But it's
one of those things. Look, your team is ultimately your team now.
Mm-hmm, right.
I like what the defense is starting to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Has it been perfect? No. Have they played the best opponents to prove it? No. I'd also say Baltimore in this little run they've had here have not played particularly the finest of opponents as they've closed out their season. They're playing Steelers team twice who, I'm sorry, have looked horrendous.
No, don't apologize.
For a month
don't
and a half.
Don't apologize for mediocrity that's lasted for 15 years.
Terrible. The
Do
Giants,
something.
The Giants, who are going to pick top five.
Right.
Houston, who... they played bad in a playoff game and still won running away because of defensive scores.
The Browns.
And the Browns.
Yeah.
So let's not act like their schedule here has kind of all of a sudden been this indicative, like, never mind, there's the Ravens. They've always beaten up on bad teams. Always. That's their whole MO.
I mean, even looking back further, they lost to the Steelers.
18-16. Philadelphia held them under 20 points.
They barely beat the Bengals 35-34.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's definite. If you want to talk about, you know, spots in the armor to look at, like, the Ravens do have those still. Like, yeah, their defense has definitely gotten a lot better as the season has gone on. But it's not as daunting as it looks.
Yeah.
And
it's just not.
Obviously, the main focus this week is what is Derrick Henry going to do? And if that 87-yard touchdown run didn't happen against the Bills, I don't think people would be as nervous about him. Yes, he's a great running back. Yes, he's incredible at what he does, and he's just a big human.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say that 87-yard touchdown run is a 40-yard touchdown run. Sure, it's still shocking, and it's still, oh my God, what just happened? But it's not.
It's not the
that guy just ran
Henry
the
play.
Length of the field effortlessly, and there's ways to stop him. Teams have done it. There's been games the one at one point in the year. When Derrick Henry was held under 90 rushing yards, the Ravens were 2-5.
Mm-hmm.
So teams have done it; they figured it out how to do it. And you know, it's tough.
You have to get up on them early.
The first quarter
will be indicative of how the rest of the game will go.
The Bills can't have their normal slow start and adjust at the halftime. They have to get out right away. I mean,
against Kansas City and Detroit, they got right on them.
Yep, exactly. And to be fair, in both of those games, and I'm not saying, you know, in other games where it's a big opponent, they didn't think like this, but in both of those games, you know, going into it, this is a tough opponent. We need to be on it right away. And that's what they're going to, I mean, they're going to know that going into this game specifically, because it's the first big opponent the Bills have had to play in how many weeks, right? Like, it since the Detroit game.
Well, I also, you know, Denver, it's a playoff game in general.
Well,
but in terms of like,
in terms of you
know,
the opponent brings to the table.
Yeah, you know they're going to match you talent level
right.
for talent level.
Yeah.
This is the first game since Detroit,
mm-hmm.
I would say. It's just, they have shown at times this year they can get up on teams fast. And this game feels like one of those games. I have got a great feeling going into Sunday. I just do. I can't really explain it past that. This is the best I've felt going in the playoffs since 20. I think the Bills are playing some of the best football in the NFL. And to be fair, looking at the Ravens' schedule, I mean, sure, they've played great. Look who they've played. 803-0550, the number two call. We'll keep this conversation going. Dennis, if you hang on the line, we'll get to you next. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Before we take our next time out, we're going to go back to the phones. Dennis is on the line. Dennis, how are we doing today?
How are we doing, guys? Hope you're having a good day.
I'd like to get
something off my chest. You have a lot of smart callers that come in and they talk all different types of sports, football being number one right now. X's and O's and matchups and philosophies, they're all great. But in Western New York, the players just have to look in the mirror and look at each other and say, not in our house. You're not going to come in to Orchard Park, New York, and treat our team like you do your home field and away games you play. This is Orchard Park, home of the mafia. You're not going to do it in our house. And just pack them up out of Orchard Park and send them home with a loss. You just have to make up your mind and roll up your sleeves that you're going to get it done. You're going to get it done for your teammates, your coaching staff, the whole organization, and the fans. You're not going to do it in our house. This is our year. It's not going to happen.
Dennis, thanks for the call. I love the sentiment. It's easier said than done. I think Harbaugh has the most road playoff wins in a career. I think he's had nine.
I was trying to do some research on that. It's a little tough to – it's not exactly a stat.
Yeah, I believe he's at nine because I looked it up yesterday. And the Bills have lost in the playoffs the last 2 years at home. They're undefeated this year in Orchard Park. So, they've done a damn good job at defending home turf.
Eight.
Yeah, but I think he won another one with the Titans. I think that stat was old because I had to look it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I was like, that doesn't sound right. He got a lot of them early, and then the Titans won. But it's tough to win playoff games, and the Bills, a lot of the time, these last 2 years have either come on empty, out of gas, the DeMar Hamlin situation, Matt Milano and his brother, Kim Pegula, the snowstorms in 22, in 23. They had no linebackers going up against the Chiefs, and even then it was still very, very close. It's tough to win road playoff games, but if there's somebody that does it really well, it is Harbaugh. It is John Harbaugh. But again, I feel really, really good about this game. The Bills are healthy. They're playing some of their best football. Not saying they've necessarily played the best competition to prove that as of late, but I wouldn't say Baltimore has either. The Giants, Steelers twice, Houston, and Cleveland. And Houston, I'm sorry, they look terrible. The Chargers just looked way worse in their game. Did you watch much of that game, though, Josh?
Which one? The Chargers-Texans?
Yeah. Seven combined turnovers between the two teams.
It was
awful.
Terrible. Bad
Nico Collins
play.
Is good. Nico Collins is really good.
For sure.
And Derek Stingley's awesome.
I think the other thing, too, that's kind of comes into play with all this, you know, when the Ravens come here, the last 2 years of losing at home are definitely on the minds of a lot of these guys. I mean, they don't want to lose for a third straight year at home. That's something that is most certainly playing into effect here. And that's another reason why I'm so confident in this is they're going to have the confidence and this is our stadium. Let's go out and win it here because people think we can't. So,
I think
that's a driving force there, for sure.
Especially with you being healthy, too. I think crowd noise is going to play a factor in it. The Ravens are the second most penalized team in all of football. I don't necessarily have the pre-snap penalties down, but in terms of just overall penalties, they're only behind the Jets. I think they have 132 to the Jets, 137. So, depending on how those stats break down, you can maybe get them on some false starts, stuff like that. If you can get them in third and longs, too. Look, as much as the third down defense freaks me out, I don't love it. They did a damn good job on Sunday. 2 for 9 for Denver. And Denver was chasing most of that game. They also had some third and shorts as well. They got off the field on Sunday. Not too much in the first drive. After that, they were really, really good. 803-0550, the number two call. We're going to keep talking Bills and Ravens, but also jump in on a hole for this wild card round this week. It was really bad football all around, except for one game. Even as a Bills fan, Bills-Broncos was super boring by the third quarter. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Darnold balls out. Picked up by Verse. Off to the races. And gone for the touchdown. Witherspoon knocked it out, and Verse took care of the rest.
Oof. Rough last 2 weeks for Sam Darnold. That's one of his 9 sacks
Jared Verse
took last night.
Jared Verse.
I mean, that defensive line for the Rams is awesome, but
they went from Aaron Donald to Jared Verse.
And Brandon Fisk,
yeah. It's how's that whole not trading picks thing working out?
It's all right for them. It's all right for them.
Or trading picks thing, I should say.
They kind of just know how to like build an NFL roster.
Yeah.
Watching that game last night, though, I thought that game had a real chance of being real close, fun, the whole thing. It just never was. It really never was. There was a moment where it could be 10-10, what have you. I think even if that play had stood, I just don't see how the Vikings are winning that game. They looked completely outmatched, and that was most of the playoffs this week. That was most of the playoffs, was teams looking completely outmatched. You look, Bills-Broncos, we talked about it, 31-7. Rams-Vikings, 27-9. Eagles, because of their own ineptitude, it wasn't worse. That game, though, was still 22-10. But Jordan Love was giving the ball away right off the rip. And then they kept losing, you know, wide receivers and offensive linemen. That game should have been worse. It still was a two-possession game.
Mm-hmm.
Ravens-Steelers, we've talked about it, 28-14. That game looked worse than the final score would indicate. And then Texans and Chargers, 32-12. 7 total turnovers between the two of the teams. And it still wasn't close. It still was not close by any stretch of the imagination. And Houston didn't play particularly well on offense at all. Stroud had moments. Nico Collins is great. The only good game was Washington and Tampa. And even then, it ends on a doink into the uprights because Zane Gonzalez, who's the kicker for Washington, could not stop playing with his hair. I didn't get to talk about this game yesterday. I'm watching that as it's happening, and I'm sitting there with my girlfriend, and we're just watching it, and I'm like, once this game's over, you know, we'll wrap up for the night. And I'm like, it's going overtime. And she's like, he hasn't kicked yet, right? And I'm like, no, but look at him. He's freaking out. He is freaking out.
Yeah.
And then he almost misses from 37 yards, and it goes in, and, you know, good to him. But for as unflappable as Jaden Daniels is, Zane Gonzalez was the exact opposite, a total 180.
It's a lot of – like he talked about – he's talked about it in the past, and he talked about it, I think, after the game. He you know, he's been very open about his struggles with OCD, and I think that's, you know, it's a tough, that's a tough thing to go through.
I didn't know any of that because to me, it just looked like he was freaking out.
No, I know, but that's a, I mean, of all the positions in sports, the worst ones that you could be at to have OCD as well is like a kicker in football, a goalie in any sport that has a goalie, a pitcher in baseball. Like, that just got me thinking about, like, what sport or what position should you not be or do you not want to be if you have OCD? And, like, that probably is one of them because there's so much pressure on, like, just the smallest thing that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I said, good for him for, like, you know, overcoming that, doing whatever he had to do. And, yeah, sure, he could probably laugh about it, too, now because he's, you know, like he said,
he made it.
He's made it, but he's also – he's gone through this stuff. He's been very open about it. So I'm sure it's probably something he can talk about openly. And, you know, I hope none of the stuff online is kind of getting to him there because it's a tough thing to go through. And
oh,
like,
it is.
But he changed the entire city. Like, they hadn't won a playoff game in 20 years.
It's 05.
Yeah.
Daniels comes in year one mm-hmm. and just looks – he looks so good.
And did you see the stat about Daniels being 12 days old the last time the Dolphins won a playoff game?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He helped the Commanders win a playoff game before the Dolphins have won a playoff game since?
They just – they're a fun team. They are an organization that is fixing from the ground up. They get new yep. ownership. Adam Peters is in his first year at GM. Dan Quinn, first year as their head coach. And for them to win 12 games and a playoff game, I don't care how their game against Detroit goes. They can get blown out. Daniels could throw three picks. I don't care. This season has been an overwhelming success in every which way. And if you're looking around the rest of the NFC East, Dable and Shane still in New York. They don't have a quarterback. You have no idea where they're going. Dallas kind of seems like they wanted to keep McCarthy, but not long enough, so McCarthy walks. Now they have no idea what to do. They're not going to be in the Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn kind of extravaganza because they're not even going to get a first interview with them. They missed the deadline. It's going to be Kellen Moore, by the way, the OC out of Philadelphia. It's going to be Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
They only hire, for the most part, guys that like are involved with Dallas.
Yeah.
And yes, men.
With how this is gone, they're going to hire Kellen Moore, who himself has not been a great OC for Philadelphia. That was a big reason why that game was a disaster against Green Bay. They couldn't get anybody open. It was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's not going to be Deion. Jerry Jones was not paying Mike McCarthy more than $5 million. He's not paying Deion's buyout of $8 million plus a salary.
Mm-hmm.
He's not doing it. Plus, if Deion's serious about, like, I want to coach Shadur, cool. Get ready to take on a massive dead cap hit from Dak Prescott because you'll have to trade him before July 1st.
Yeah.
It's not happening. It's a negotiation tactic because there's been a deal from everybody I've seen on from Colorado, Benjamin Albright, who I know was on the morning show last week mm-hmm. speaking about Denver and Buffalo. He's talked about it too, that like there's been a contract that Deion can sign. This is him leveraging for just a little bit more money, either in his contract or in the NIL purse, whatever it is.
Maybe a little bit of both, too.
A little bit of both.
I think maybe the whole offseason of, yeah, I'm going to go wherever Travis and Shadur go.
Like, he hasn't even said that, though. He has had zero aspirations for the NFL.
Oh, he hasn't actually.
All he said is, I would go to the NFL if I could coach both Shadur and Shiloh.
Oh, I got it.
That's
you.
It.
Gotcha.
That's all he has said. It's been fans and media wanting to stir up thinking that that's Deion's ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
And he has always said everything but. I get it'd be fun, and to be fair, like I was talking with some fans last night, I would love the idea of Deion Sanders and Jerry Jones in Dallas in a disaster, by the way. It's a tire fire. They don't have much talent. They haven't paid guys like Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, and Dak Prescott. It's a disaster.
Well, did you see, too, that there's like new rules at Colorado now
mm-hmm.
that he put out that there's like, you know, players can't wear slides or tank tops, sit in
mm-hmm.
like to just do all this, you know, make sure their grades are up and all this stuff. Like, he wouldn't be like instituting all this new stuff if he was just going to leave, right? Like, he's not just sitting there going like, yeah, we're going to really crack down this year and really.
I also don't think he would have tried to get a quarterback for this year and a quarterback mm-hmm. for the future. He would not have put that much effort into it,
right? And unless he's kind of keeping both doors open, because if you're him, you can set yourself up for the future, but you can also set up whoever's coming in there for the future.
Sure, no, because, absolutely, yeah. Instead of leaving Colorado high and dry, sort of deal,
right? Exactly, and at the
Except,
same time,
you know, those guys will leave the moment Deion does.
Yeah,
you can only do so much. Those guys are coming to be coached
to
by
be
Deion,
by, coached by you. Yeah, right. So it's just kind of a weird situation, and I don't think it's ever going to end up with him being in the NFL, especially Dallas. So I get what he's doing, but I do not get what Jerry Jones is doing. If Jerry Jones is seriously thinking that he's going to come to Dallas, then he's not crazy.
He's just keeping Dallas in the media for like a week or two.
Mm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Because he has no plan for the head coach. I think he assumed he'd get Mike McCarthy back. That's why they blocked him from talking to Chicago last week.
Yep.
They assumed they'd get the deal done, but they never really put too much effort into it.
I think
mainly because – and I heard Colin Cowherd talk about this on his show too, and I fully agree. McCarthy probably wanted it's for sure he wanted more years because he sees a rebuild coming and he knows I'm going to need more years to get this done.
Exactly.
Jerry was unwilling to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they parted ways.
I at the same time, too, I think it's the right choice. I think you come to a point in every franchise mm-hmm. where you're really good for a long time or you're just about there for a long time and you gotta just full change.
Yeah.
You know, change everything out.
But, if you were going to get rid of him or you were serious about it, you should have gotten rid of him before so you could jump into the Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson, Joe Brady, Liam Cohen kind of sweepstakes that's going on. Hell, even Vrabel. I know he's kind of for sure going to New England. I get it. But you could at least throw your name in the ring, see what happens.
Well, now he is for sure.
Well that's, I mean, yeah.
Oh, but
by the time you've gotten rid of McCarthy, he was already done.
Yeah.
You kind of sat on your hands. And that's my thing, too. Like, I've mentioned it a lot. I don't think Brady's leaving. I also don't think Ben Johnson's leaving Detroit unless Brady's going to do some magic with Vegas, which it sounds like he might be able to do. But I don't think Brady's leaving. The jobs available suck. They're terrible. The best one's taken up already by Vrabel with New England. They have a ton of cap space, maybe their future quarterback already locked down, and the owner wants to win more than almost anything. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't really meddle that much. He kind of just lets you figure it out.
Yeah.
That's why Bill Belichick was able to be the GM forever, and they're already bringing over some guys that Vrabel knows into the front office. It's working. Then the other kind of, I guess, you know, big job, if you want it, is Chicago.
If you're Mike McCarthy, do you take that job?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think Chicago is going to aggressively pursue him because unlike the coordinators, as much as I'm a big fan of Ben Johnson and I think Joe Brady would be a great hire, the whole thing, Mike McCarthy is a known commodity.
Yeah.
You know you're going to get winning seasons. You know you're going to make the playoffs. And he's worked with young rosters before. He may not get the absolute most out of Caleb Williams, but in a bad season, he had 20 touchdowns and 6 picks and over 60 completion percentage.
Right.
He wasn't a disaster.
Yeah.
And he was with a dead man walking coach and an offense coordinator that halfway through his first season they fired. In mm-hmm. Shane Waldron.
And if
McCarthy, they could do miles worse than McCarthy.
Right. And if you think about it too, like if a bad season with Caleb Williams is like what you just said with the 20 touchdowns, like that, if you add in the good coach, is Williams then good enough to kind of make up for McCarthy's, you know,
I think
missing
so.
Pieces?
I think he has still all the talent in the world.
Because McCarthy, like, in his time in Dallas, it's been like, yeah, no, it's mostly been on the fact that Dak Prescott was not great in the some of the big moments. I mean, sure, mm-hmm. McCarthy had his moments too, but like, if you can get a quarterback that doesn't make the same mistakes Dak Prescott did, then you're kind of playing complementary coach quarterback there. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if the coach can build up the quarterback in one area and the quarterback can build up the coach in the other, that's kind of what you're ideally going for when you're looking for that combination. So if McCarthy can work with that with Caleb Williams, then there's definitely something there. The other one that I thought, and you're going to hate this, but I thought it was just interesting that they're talking to him, Cliff Kingsbury with the Bears.
Snake oil salesman.
He coached Caleb Williams before.
Snake oil salesman.
I wonder if there's anything there.
I think he's a fine coordinator.
Yeah,
he has
for
zero
sure.
idea what to do as head coach. Mm-hmm. Zero idea. His
and there's guys like that. But there's
worse.
Guys like that, which is fine. Like, if you're a good coordinator but not a good head coach, then sure.
His offenses get worse every second half of a season. Going back to Texas Tech, I think he's just being helped out that Jaden Daniels is this good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His best receiver is Diame Brown, or his second best receiver is Diame Brown. He's hitting for almost 100 yards against Tampa Bay. He's throwing dimes to Terry McLaurin. And then you have a coach in Dan Quinn who looks at fourth downs and licks his chops. He's ready to go. I like everything Washington is building moving forward. I think they've got the quarterback. He's mature. He seems to have just no fear in the big moments. I'm not saying they're going to beat Detroit. I think they are going to lose to Detroit. I think they could scare them a little bit, though. And I'm very, very excited about that moving forward. I think they're going to be a fun team in the NFC. And again, you look at around the NFC. Excuse me, the NFC East, if you're Washington, Giants are in a disaster with Dable and Shane. Dallas, we're talking about it now, they're letting go of McCarthy. They haven't really paid Dak. CeeDee Lamb hasn't been paid. Micah Parsons hasn't been paid. You have no idea of a complete rebuild's going up. And then the Eagles, for as talented as they are, They leave a lot of meat on the bone. You're not sure about Nick Sirianni. I think Kellen Moore is a terrible OC, but they've got a ton of talent. But even then, in the middle of the Eagles-Packers game, because he's got one catch, A.J. Brown's sitting there reading a book, which has now become a bestseller, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. they're a nightmare. If Washington just keeps the train on the tracks, hits a few more picks, and keeps it moving forward, I think they win an NFC East title within 2 years. They could win it next year. They are, I think, that good. They won 12 games this year in their first year of this kind of rebuild. And Jaden Daniels looks awesome. We got bit by C.J. Stroud. I get it, the whole thing. And they played a bad schedule. I understand. But at a certain point, you still got to take what you're seeing and go, all right, he's good. He is good. And to be the first quarterback to win on the road since 2012, to win on the road since 2012, that's huge. And he did it against a guy in Baker Mayfield who was dealing, and he was making plays. Mike Evans was eating Marshawn Lattimore alive, and he had zero fear, zero fear. I like what Washington's bringing. I love him a lot. Again, that also tells you, though, how hard it is to win on the road. We were talking about in the break, looking back at this Bills-Ravens matchup. Harbaugh does still hold the record at 8 road playoff wins. That's the most by any coach in NFL history. A lot of them were early, though. A lot of them were early with those great defenses, kind of the last years of Ed Reed and Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs, and then young Joe Flacco. It's a lot of those early runs, especially like 08 when Flacco's a rookie, what have you, and Harbaugh's rookie year as well. The last one, though, was 2020 against Tennessee. Ultimately, kind of a bad Tennessee team that was sort of overachieving. That was sort of their thing. But I'm excited for this game. But, man, I mean, legacies are going to kind of be defined by this. Early legacies are going to be defined by this.
Yeah.
And that's maybe my only kind of nerve is what are the next, realistically, year going to be spent talking about? For either team, whoever loses this game, what's the next year going to be?
Because
for the Ravens, you've been the one seed twice in this run.
Mm-hmm.
You've been great. The Bills, you've been the two seed for like 4 years in a row. You keep winning the wild card round. You keep doing this, keep doing that. You keep breaking records. I mean, this year, the Everything Eats or Everybody Eats worked. 30 passing touchdowns, 30 rushing touchdowns. The most by any, that's the first time a team has ever done it. You have the most touchdowns scored in a season for a team. And you were injured a lot on defense. You can kind of argue like you kind of just figured it out. It didn't matter. You won 13 games. You beat the 2-1 seeds in the respective conferences. If you lose, what do you do? Mike Shope was talking about this yesterday. Like, what do you do? Do you want to change a ton of stuff? You probably shouldn't. I think the Bills are going to move off from Matthew Smiley. There's enough evidence to do so. You're going to have draft picks, sure. But it kind of gets to a point of, like, when will it happen for either organization? Somebody will leave this kind of sitting there in their chair going, I don't know what to do, for at least I think a night or two of just, I don't know what to do. I don't know what comes next.
Right. And you brought up the whole, like, you know, how it's going to be a talking point for a year. It's just because of the fact that it's the same thing every single time.
Mm.
And, you know, the Ravens last season were what the Bills are this season. They just ended up getting the one seed. The Bills last season are what the Ravens are this year, where they kind of had a rocky year and then all of a sudden turned it on at the end of the season, won their division, and made it to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy how you can, and you can even go down to the players and they mirror each other with Allen and Lamar. I mean, Lamar Jackson has the year this year of what Allen had last year, basically. So it's kind of this, like, you wish this was the AFC Championship game, right? Like this should be the AFC Championship game. But unfortunately, you have to hope that whoever wins this game can go out and beat the Chiefs the next week. Because I think both Bills and Ravens fans will agree that they want the other, if they lose, they want the other to win the next game.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just want the Chiefs to be gone. Like, you don't want that anymore. I mean, I just saw a meme on the internet. It's Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader fighting, and that's Bills Ravens, and then in the background is the Emperor as the Chiefs. Like, that's how this feels. Like, but at the same time, it's still that defining moment where you know the game is going to be incredible, and you know both teams are going to put up an amazing fight, but I don't know if there's any way to feel good about a loss in this scenario for either team. There's not something, there's not one thing that could happen for either team in this game where if you lose, you still feel like, hey, you know, but this happened. So, like, whatever, you know, like there's, There's not even like, hey, the Bills shut down Derrick Henry, but Lamar Jackson was still him and
you lost.
Went out and did it. You know, like that. You can't even say that, or vice versa. You shut down Lamar Jackson, but Derrick Henry still did it. Or on the Ravens side, hey, Allen didn't rush at all, but he passed all over you. There's no, and obviously there's no good feeling in any loss. But like, look at the Broncos, right? Sure, they lose, but Bo Nix looks good. Sean Payton and Bo Nix get another year together next year for a sophomore season. You get the offseason to build up things, and you move on. But with this, it's the same. I think you said it, hitting your head against the ceiling.
Mm.
And it's just, that's also like another reason why I'm just really excited for the game and wanted to just get here. Like, I love that it's a night game, but I also hate it because we have to wait the whole day.
Mm.
But
I do like though it's going to be the last playoff game. Like, I'll be able to kind of enjoy. And also, like, if you win, you sort of know what your fate is.
Right. Like, imagine if the Texans win.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. You'll know, like, could we potentially have a third game at Highmark Stadium? That'd be awesome. Host an AFC Championship game. It's just, this game can't get here fast enough, but there is a part of me that's like almost apprehensive of talking about the legacies for either team and how they go, because I know me and Derek Kramer have talked about it a lot. I think, Josh, me and you have talked about it a lot too, is the air being taken out of the room by Mahomes and the Chiefs. You know, the MVPs, the Super Bowls, the playoff wins, the whole thing. Like, it's been dominated by them for all of the three guys' careers. Four, if you want to throw Burrow in there as well. Burrow has... He's the only guy who's beaten him in the playoffs. So, like, he's been living off of that Super Bowl run since, where Lamar and Allen have been the better overall quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
They've made the crazier plays. I think most people will acknowledge, like, they're all-time talents. Burrow might be there, but Burrow's almost kind of giving me this feeling of just, like, he'll always be really good. He'll put up these stats, but you wonder if all of those are just because his teams are terrible.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say.
And I don't want to take anything away, but, like, they were down so many games that he had to just throw it. You wonder if those stats came from that. With the Bills, what was the big stat there? Allen sat 11 more quarters than Lamar did. Not due to injury, just due to they were blowing teams out. He didn't need to play.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something to look at with this game of just whoever loses this is in an awful spot. And it's not to say that either team then will go on and beat the Chiefs. I think they will. But even if you lose to the Chiefs, it'll kind of go back to, but it's the Chiefs. Like, yep. Eventually they'll stop, but not now. At least you got one over on Jackson, or at least you got one over on Allen. And you've added, for Jackson, it's a second straight AFC Championship appearance. For Allen, it would be, you're going back. For, I think, a lot of Bills fans too, it would just be getting past the divisional round again, not feeling like that. Like, that's the end-all, be-all at home or on the road.
Right.
And you would have beaten a great quarterback to do so. You've lost to Burrow and Mahomes, but you would have beaten Jackson now twice in the playoffs as well.
I was about to say, yeah, I think another thing that's kind of underlying for this Ravens team is the last time they played the Bills was... The last time they played the Bills in the playoffs, I should say, was when you get... Not blown out necessarily, but it's a very deflating game. There's no fans in the stands, but you're still...
playing it. Yeah.
Lamar Jackson's talked about it. He still couldn't hear anything. And there was only what, like... 10,000 fans there or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I think it was like around 6,000.
That's even worse. Like, I mean, you can't imagine what it's going to be like with 70,000. So it's one of those biggest games of the year type thing. And especially the fact too, that it's a rematch. Like but I don't think this is going to look anything like the first game.
No.
And we talked about that a lot in the first hour where it's you have such a different roster on both sides of the ball. The Bills have a new wide receiver in Amari Cooper. They have three of their most important defensive players healthy, but the Ravens have kind of tweaked a lot of things and are good to go, but they're missing Zay Flowers, potentially.
Potentially.
It's not confirmed yet, but I mean, it's kind of
pointing. No one
sounds
that confident on that.
Yeah, it's pointing towards the fact that he might not play or probably won't play. And if that happens and you can put Baltimore in a one-dimensional state, who do they throw to?
It's going to be Rashad Bateman in the tight ends.
I mean, what is that really? Like, you know, like that. What is that? That doesn't worry me that much.
Mm.
If you can eliminate Derrick Henry or at least hamper how much he can run and just kind of like shut him down at least 50%, that takes a huge part out of their game plan, especially if they're missing Zay Flowers. I know, I get it. Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews have been really good this year, but... If you go out there and you shock them and show them that you can shut down Derrick Henry like only a few other teams can, that's a great way to start this game. And that's got to be how they start this game.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. I want to dive in a little bit more on Allen and Jackson's playoff stats compared to one another. It's been made a lot that Lamar struggles in the playoffs. I want to dive a little bit deeper into that, go through each of these games. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Back to pass, has time, and he's got Curtis Samuel wide open at the 33. Cuts it back inside at the 20. Puts on the Jets. Gets away. Five. Touchdown. Curtis Samuel, the Brooklyn native, goes all the way.
Chris Brown there on the call. One of Josh Allen's two touchdown passes from Sunday. More Curtis Samuel making a play, yards after catch. Good to see him get going as well. Team really is sort of seemingly rounding into place at the perfect time. The Bills are playing a great football. It just kind of sucked that for like the last month they weren't playing necessarily meaningful games. It was all but inevitable they were going to lock up the two seed. So a lot of like the last month of the regular season was just kind of going through the motions. It felt as a fan as well, just going through the motions. Let's get to the playoffs. Let's stay healthy. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's keep getting connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Joe is up next. Joe, how are we doing this morning?
Good, good. Yes, I want to come back to make a comment about what was said a few minutes ago about the Bills and the Ravens. You know, if they lose, where are they going to go from here if they hit the ceiling? And this is a rebuilding year for the Bills, and they added a lot of good young players. And I can only see their offense only getting better. So I don't see this as being a ceiling for the Bills at all. I think that with the crew they have now, that they're only going to get better, and they're going to do better even next year.
That's a really good point, Joe. Thanks for bringing that up. My only fear gets to the point I think fans would bring it up. I think even like the coaching staff that's been around there, some of the vets like Dawkins and Allen that have been there, it'll feel like, man, we cannot get past the division round. Dawkins, I heard on the Herd, Colin Coward show, you know, talking about like this, and I get it. It's PR. He's going to say this regardless, but bringing up that like this is the best he has ever felt as Bills, the best he has seen McDermott and everything like that. It's just, I agree. They're going to have, what, like 9 draft picks? They'll have more in cap space, not like the Vikings or the Patriots, where they're going to have a ton in cap space and be able to make a lot of moves. But they have a lot of draft picks. They've been doing much better in the draft. I love their player development, the whole thing. And they've got, I think, clear needs that they can fill pretty quickly, especially in this draft class. It will, though, feel like, man, what the hell are we supposed to do next? The Ravens can argue, too, they have a young team. You know, Kyle Hamilton's 23 years old, 24 years old. He's already a 2-time All-Pro, second team and first team. You know, Zay Flowers, their first Pro Bowl receiver in franchise history, by the way, as a receiver, is relatively young.
That's such a wild
stat. That's the Ravens for you, baby. That's the Ravens. You know, they also have, as much as Mark Andrews started to like seem like he hit a cliff, he had 10 touchdowns this year.
Yeah, he really turned it on.
You have Isaiah Likely.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry, yes, he's 31. But they keep winning games. They can probably get another running back in these drafts. Not Derrick Henry necessarily, but you've discovered Lamar Jackson is, in fact, a pretty good passer and has gotten better almost every year. I think both these teams have pretty high ceilings. It's more the mental aspect. It is more the feeling of, when is it going to be us? What more do we need to do? I think as fans, it's maybe easier come, you know, February, March, when the draft season starts to ramp up. It's like, ooh, we got 9 draft picks. Like, we've got this cap space. We re-sign this person. Like, ooh, that's exciting.
Right.
I think for the teams, it's a little bit more challenging. You know, the draft does not necessarily mean great things for some of these guys. For some of them, it means, cool, I'm going to get replaced.
Right. And it's also the frustration levels, too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not only the fact that, you know, if you have to replace guys or guys are worried about getting replaced, that whole mental aspect of everything, but it's the, oh, here we go again.
Yep.
We're in the same spot. We can't get past it. What are we going to do? And then you could have, and I'm neither of these teams are having these problems that we know of, but like you could have people turn on each other and people get frustrated, and that's where you have internal strife. The Eagles went through this season. I mean, there was a lot of things going on behind closed doors that were being talked about. I still don't think they're resolved. I mean, especially with a guy like A.J. Brown reading a basic, like a self-help book on the sideline. I think that's around what the book was. And
so good.
Good for him for like trying to fix it, but like maybe not in the game. Like, don't do that in the game, maybe. But like, it's the stuff you can run into. Cause like, I mean, look at the Eagles. They're at this point too. Like, if you want to look around the league at other teams that are kind of in the same spot of this high expectation, but always falling short of it, you got the Eagles. You got
the 49ers.
I mean, maybe not so much this year because of all the injuries and such, but like.
No, they made the Super Bowl last year, though. I mean, and they've lost to the Chiefs twice in it. I mean,
yeah.
And no, their team has sort of just run out of time.
It's funny that there's four teams in all very similar situations that are running into the same problem, and it's the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's the Chiefs.
So frustrating.
I say it a lot, but they take the air out of the room. It is going to be very difficult to talk about this era of greatness because it does feel – I'm not saying it's going to definitively end this way, but it feels like – Yeah, but then every season ended with like the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, either winning it or just coming just short. You know, what are we joking now? The AFC Championship is just the Arrowhead Invitational. You know, it feels like we're kind of getting to that point. Is Kelce and Reed going to be there forever? No, but Mahomes kind of himself almost feels inevitable. But so do Jackson and Allen. It's just, to me, it feels like whichever team wins this game is going to be Kansas City
because
it has to happen.
Is this how things felt back when the Patriots were on their run? We just didn't know it because it was the middle of the drought. Me and you specifically were younger, so it's not as big of an effect on our lives what happens in the Super Bowl. But, you know, for Bills fans, when it was the Patriots were on all their runs and stuff, it was up, the Patriots are in town, they're going to beat the crap out of us, and where are we picking this year? Like, that sort of thing, because the drought was going on. But, like, looking at other teams and, like, the league as a whole, I don't feel like there's ever been a dynasty like this one where it's like, yeah, the Patriots were dominant, but other teams could also get up there and beat them.
And just couldn't get past them specifically. Right. I think there's somewhat of a feeling there. I will say I think this is the most talented the NFL's been in terms of quarterback play. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in terms of like the elite, you can just see he's a Hall of Famer kind of guy. There's never been more in the NFL playing it at an equal level. Like, I mean, you would have guys like Elway at the end of their career, just as, you know, Manning's coming in or whatever, or Favre, you know, just as Manning and Brady are coming in and they're at the tail end. No, this is like all of these guys are like in their mid to late 20s, and they're all playing at an exceptionally high level. And when you look at that too, it was a lot of, I mean, it's why we talked about Brady Manning so much. There's this feeling that if Brady wasn't there, Manning would have just won like 7 Super Bowls. And likewise, if Manning wasn't there, Brady probably wins like 9.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, Roethlisberger was never on those guys' levels. Never.
What's also,
even Rivers, as much as I do like Philip Rivers, he was not comparable to Tom Brady and Peyton Manning at the height of their powers. Manning's biggest problem is he could not figure out the Patriots' defense for a good majority of his career. He had bad playoff losses. They sort of figured it out. I love the playoffs, and I've been rewatching stuff on an NFL throwback YouTube channel, the 03 playoffs. We don't talk about that as like just an absurd run by Manning, because it's when he wins his first playoff game at 27. He puts up a near identical stat line to Allen in the perfect game against the Patriots in 21. And then there's the no punt game the next week against the Chiefs with Trent Green and Pierce Holmes and Dick Vermeil. It's a no punt game. Manning's the same thing. He's nearly perfect. And it's all done away in the AFC Championship game. He has 1 touchdown, 4 picks.
Yeah,
he just could not figure them out. Roethlisberger was never on those guys' level. He had great teams, though, and it did allow him to get a Super Bowl ring out of it. You know, you had Eli, you know, kind of going on these runs and winning them. It also doesn't feel like, though, we're ever going to get that. Like, Stafford was near perfect in their playoff run to go win it. I mean, they had the great run against Tampa. They were playing exceptionally well against the Cincinnati Bengals in that playoff. Now it just feels like Lamar's going to win his third MVP. This is his best season. If it weren't for last year, I would be saying Lamar should win MVP. But last year kind of ruined the voting for me, not just that, with DeMar Hamlin as well. Allen has already had a playoff run for the ages where in 2 games, 9 touchdowns, no picks. Burrow has kind of gone on these runs where they've won games bang, 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 all on the road, or you know, 2 of them on the road to get to a Super Bowl. There's so many talented guys, but all of the oxygen is taken up by one guy. Hurts doesn't have a Super Bowl. You know, the 49ers in this run don't have a Super Bowl. It's all kind of Chiefs, 1 year with Stafford and Brady right at the end.
I think it's also interesting, like looking back at the Patriots kind of era.
They went 10 years without winning one.
Right. But you also look at that, even in the years they were in, there were so many different teams. There was so much variance. There were so many different guys getting in there, or teams making a Cinderella run, or things like that. Like the Patriots, sure. I mean, obviously you have like the Seahawks and the Broncos are in there a bunch. The 49ers are in there a couple times. The Giants, obviously. But like, I mean, you have a year where it's Colts-Bears. I mean, the 07 Super Bowl was...
Yeah.
Or 06, yeah. It was Colts-Bears.
Rex Grossman made a Super Bowl.
Yeah, right. Like, and I'm not saying that's not possible now, but it feels like all of these teams that could go on these Cinderella runs, like the Commanders this year, for example, they could come in and be as electrifying as they were against the Buccaneers, and then they're going to come in next week and just get destroyed by the Lions.
Yeah.
But And to be fair, the Lions are kind of new to this. They've only been here for a couple years now, where they've kind of had this return or this kind of emergence, essentially. But like, or you know, another example: the Rams with the Eagles, right? Like the Eagles could just be another year of shutting down an NFC team that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how this has all felt lately. Is you have these four or five teams, and thankfully the Bills are one of them, where they just every year it's, yep, they're going to shut down some young, hopeful team's playoff hopes, and it's going to be another year where it's Mahomes and Allen or Mahomes and Lamar, and you're going to move on. And I'm not trying to sound negative by saying this. It's just you look back at that era where the Patriots were, quote-unquote, so dominant, and you have so many different teams that they had to take on, so many different players that got shots at the Super Bowl, that got chances, that even beat the Patriots at times. Like, there's a lot more to be desired about that dynasty, as sucky as it was, than there is in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this one is just so much more deflating because it's the same people. It's not even a new team, really. It's Mahomes and Kelsey and
the final four of the AFC
are
the same as last year.
Yeah.
The final four of the AFC are the exact same as last year.
That too.
It does not feel like we're going to get much quote-unquote parity. There is and we've been talking about it much of this year, there is a very distinct top and a very distinct bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a little bit of a middle ground. There's some teams like building to what they're going to be.
Or there's teams falling off like the Bengals.
Steelers, like they were in the playoffs, well, but you can see they're going to start falling off.
The Steelers are different than the Bengals because the Bengals, it's you have all these young guys, but you're not paying any of them, so they're just walking away.
Steelers can't figure out the quarterback position. If we're being in serious.
Figure out a lot of things.
I think the Bengals are going to take the Steelers spot, and I could see a team like New England with all of their cap space, Drake May, Mike Vrabel, they could maybe challenge for a playoff spot, especially how bad the Dolphins and Jets appear to be going into next year, and the Colts.
Yeah, the Colts are really falling apart.
But it's the same teams at the top. I'd argue it's the same teams in the NFC too. You're just replacing the Cowboys with Washington. Minnesota was interesting this year, but they were in 2 years ago. It's going to be Philadelphia, Detroit, and one of Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo.
Yep. And again,
Super Bowl winner will be one of those five teams.
Yeah, and I don't want to sound negative about it because, again, we are part of this. The Bills are part of this.
Oh, yeah.
It's exciting to be the dominant team for once, or part of the dominant teams for once, but it does kind of get that tired storyline of who's going to knock off the Chiefs? What are the Ravens and Bills going to do? How are they going to beat Mahomes? It's just you want somebody else in here for once. Like, you want something else to talk about, like, in terms of, instead of just looking at Patrick Mahomes all the time. Like, real common denominator here is it's frustrating to see them always there. Because if this was the AFC Championship game where one of these two quarterbacks was finally going to get to a Super Bowl, I won't care who's in the other side of it. It could be the 49ers again for all I care. It's fine. But, like, it's more so the fact that you want something different than a Super Bowl with Reed and Mahomes
again, and them kind of like solidifying, like, just
and another year of oh yeah, we really didn't think we were going to be there this year, and it was a really hard year, but hey, we got here, and it was really fun.
We're simply better than everybody at everything we do,
right?
And it's frustrating because I think this is a great era of the NFL. I think there's going to be a lot of playoff games that are just replayed endlessly on NFL Network and ESPN and what have you.
We've already had a ton,
and guys who are going to be talked about decades from now.
Yeah,
but right now, there's one guy getting Super Bowls, and I pointed this a lot, and I did early in Jackson and Allen's career and Burrow's career too, of like, I can think of one truly great quarterback in the era where quarterbacks meant a lot, because I've kind of changed this definition a little bit because Fran Tarkenton was on this list for a while. But of the truly great, you just know it when you see it. They're one or two every single year. They might have a year where the other guy takes them, but like, they're definitively so great they need to have a Super Bowl. Dan Marino's like the one guy that doesn't have one. And I know Bills and Dolphins in the 90s was a fun rivalry. Those Dolphin teams were not good. They were not good. The Bills were significantly better than them. John Elway eventually got two. Kelly, I love him. He was never in the same category as Marino and Elway. He was never in the same category as Steve Young. They were better quarterbacks. The Bills had better teams than a lot of those guys. They just kind of ran into the Cowboys or a hot, like, Mark Rippon Washington team. You know, these great quarterbacks get at least one. Manning finally got his first one. He threw three touchdowns and seven picks in the playoffs in 06, but he finally got one. I find it hard to believe that we're going to have three or four of these guys not get one. I find that very, very hard to believe. And I think Alan Lamar up there for those guys that are just, they're going to get one before all said and done. And they're going to do it for these cities. They're not, no one's pulling a Brady Rogers having not won one and all of a sudden doing the second. I can't see it. 803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here for until 12 o'clock as we get you ready for Sabres Live. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt hanging with you here for just a few more minutes on a Tuesday. No Sabres tonight. They play tomorrow. Weird game tomorrow. It's at 6 o'clock instead of 7. So Sabres pregame will start tomorrow at 5 p.m. Josh, though, the Australian Open is going on. You said you had something going on from there?
Yeah, I saw an interesting tweet earlier today, and I had to go out and confirm it because if it was true, it was really cool. So I saw this tweet from Sid, and I think he either just is watching the Australian Open or just covers it. It looks like he's just watching it. The Australian Open on YouTube, on their live stream, due to rights issues, are getting around the rights issues by replacing real players with Nintendo Wii Sports tennis characters. It's amazing.
Yes.
I double-checked it on YouTube. All of their streams, after the players are introduced, they're walking out on the courts, they're doing their warm-ups, it switches over to a Wii Sports looking match. Like, it doesn't look exactly like Wii Sports, but it also is definitely not real life, and it is awesome. Like, it's really funny to see. I just thought it was kind of interesting that even though it's the Australian Open and it's their own YouTube channel, they can't stream it on YouTube, which is just kind of weird.
That's tough.
But yeah, so I just want to see one of these guys lose it and smash their racket on the ground as a Wii Sports character. But, you know, just a funny bit of
just with their head news. Hanging low, you know how they, like, right. In Wii Sports, yeah, when you lose your head.
Yeah, low. And they have the little, like scribbles above their head because they're frustrated. Yeah, no, I would love nothing more than that to happen. So
what about if they get the point, you see the, you know, the music notes that...
Yeah, the music notes that pop up above their head. No, they, because I'm watching a highlight, there's the Yannick Sinner got a point and nothing special happens. They're not doing any extra effects with it or anything like that, but it does show you how far sports have come in terms of, you know, animation and streaming and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
we do also have some sports tonight. Week number two of the TGL Golf League, and tonight is going to be the debuts for Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy as the Los Angeles Golf Club takes on Jupiter Links Golf Club.
You going to pick a team for this?
Nope. I didn't watch last week. I'm excited to check this out because I heard good reviews. I'm excited. It starts at 7 p.m. tonight. It's going to be on ESPN.
That's big, too, because it was on at 9 last week.
What's also nice, too, for me, it'll be like, all right, it's Tiger versus Rory. This will be easier
right,
to watch.
Right.
I'll enjoy seeing these guys. That should be fun. And yeah, it's every Tuesday, I think, for like the next few weeks. And then it starts to go like Monday, Tuesday.
I do really like that this is kind of a new thing that they're trying out because it's a nice, like, there's a long break for golf, right? Like, it's a nice lead up to
a lull period. Not everyone's going to take part in the Hawaiian circuit.
Yeah. And it's a nice lead up to like the Masters and all that. It gets you going for like, hey, I want to go to a simulator now and I want to go check things out and hit some golf balls.
No, buddy. I have been there for like 3 weeks. It's killing me. That's going to do it for me and Josh. Coming up next after a quick timeout, you're going to have Sabres Live as the Sabres will be back in action tomorrow night against the Carolina Hurricanes. Enjoy the rest of your day, everyone. This is WGR.